This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
High Noon here on WEEI. It's Jones and Keith. Every Celtics Wednesday at High Noon, we're joined by Justin Turpin, WEEI. What's going on, Turp?
What's up, guys? What's going on?
I want to start with something you went to last night. We can get into the Celtics final tune-up before the All-Star break. Wembanyama tonight at the Garden. I want your thoughts on him, why the Celtics are better on the road, et cetera, et cetera. But you were at an event, Tatum, Drew Hanlon, last night. Well, I don't know. Describe it. I heard Mego talking about this a little bit on the Greg Hill show. Describe what it was and what your takeaways were.
Yeah, so Drew Hanlon, for those that don't know, has been Jason Tatum's skills coach since he was in middle school. So it was no surprise when he was teasing this event with a special guest that it was going to be Jason Tatum that walked through the door. And when he did, I don't think many people were surprised. But it was really cool because they showed kind of behind-the-scenes footage of his workout with the Celtics, with Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens there, his one workout with Kobe Bryant. And I think this is something that most people don't know, is he only worked out with Kobe once. And so to see the video from that was really cool. They showed video from him in high school and just his workout regimen now. And my biggest takeaway is just like how much goes into this. And obviously, you know how hard these athletes work to get to where they want to be. But actually seeing those behind the scenes footage of them going through this workout routine and sticking with it from when he was in middle school is just it was impressive to watch. And it was cool to see that version of Jason Tatum where it's not the traditional media sense where there's this microphone in front of his mouth and he kind of has to watch what he said. And he kind of relaxed a little bit last night and he was still, you know, being himself, kind of
mindful. Yeah,
but I mean, it was cool to see him in that sense, and you know, it gives you a new appreciation.
No, it is true. I think because a lot of times you take it for granted because you watch the games,
right,
and all the sports, and you're like, oh, these guys are just naturally good. And it's like, well, part of that's true. Like, they have to be, you know, naturally a certain degree of athletic, but then like the amount of work these guys put in is pretty off the charts.
Yeah, they said before at the end of every workout they'd run the court 25 times because it was rumored that that's what NBA teams did when you went in for a workout to see if you were in shape. And they never actually ended up doing that, but they did it before at the end of every workout. So that stuff's cool. Yeah.
So maybe you just answered it. And I don't know, is any of this embargoed? Like, are you not allowed to share any of it? Or but what jumped out from, I know you said kind of watching the full amount of work that goes into it from a young age, but from the Celtics workout specifically, even more so than the Kobe workout, like what jumped out from that foot? Stevens, Ainge, could you glean anything from that?
Nothing really, because that was kind of a quicker video, so it wasn't really anything to take away from that, but it was just cool to see them kind of working through his fadeaway shots, whatever it may be, with the Celtics brass right there in front of him, especially when it wasn't really publicly viewed before.
It's obvious, too, like, and this happens with a lot of these rookies. This will happen with Wembanyama, I'm sure, and probably already has. But him coming into the league, Keith, and like how wiry he was versus like how much of a man he is now.
Yep.
And so I'm sure some of that is striking as well. You think Tatum deserves any consideration for MVP?
I do. I mean, again, it feels like every year we have this conversation, and I know the Celtics aren't as dominant as they were last year, but he is the best player on the best team, and he's leading that team in points, rebounds, and assists. And you see what he's doing now. Just look at the last two games. He completely took over those games. He owned New York on Saturday and did the same thing after a slow first half against Miami. So eventually his time will come. I think right now everyone knows it's going to be SGA. I mean, he's a big favorite. He's got that minus next to his name on the DraftKings odds. That usually says a lot, especially at this point of the season. So eventually he's going to get one. I don't think this is the year, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's interesting because he has hit this spot where he is an automatic first-team All-NBA. It seems like pretty consistently it's like, all right, roll out of bed, top five player. And then it's going to come down to somebody else that maybe doesn't have the teammates around him or whatever. Or like is going to get more credit for that team's success. It feels like as long as he is on the favorite, I think it's going to be tough for him to win it.
Yeah, it's because the team is so good, take a hit. And that's been a problem now for the last couple of years, right. Especially now that he's taken a bigger step and he's more of a perennial MVP candidate. It feels like this is a discussion every year. It's like the team being so good actually hurts his chances. And eventually, it's going to happen, right? People are going to have to move on just because of the financial state of this team, so eventually things are going to change, and I think then he'll get one. I mean, it's no secret he's eventually going to win one. It's just a matter of when.
Well, I wonder if he's going to win one. For instance, it's Wembanyama tonight against Tatum, which I know we're excited about, and I'm just curious if Celtics fans realize, you know, what he likely is going to be in very short order. I compared it earlier to, you know, Connor McDavid early in his career coming in, where you're really looking at, you know, the next Gretzky, the next Sid Crosby, whatever. And Wembanyama is kind of taking that from LeBron, it seems. Who do you think wins one first, Wembanyama or Tatum?
I think it'll be Tatum. I still think Wembanyama has a little bit of time to go. I mean, he's only 21, and he's taken a step this year, but I think he does have a little bit more time to go. And the thing is with Jason Tatum, too, is the more he keeps winning, and I know he's been a winner throughout his entire career, but the more he keeps winning championships and having deeper runs, you get more consideration in that. I think there is some sort of factor that comes with that. And I think you saw that with Jaylen Brown this year. I think he's getting a little bit more attention, and he's not having as strong as a year as he did last year, but he won the Eastern Conference Finals MVP and NBA Finals MVP. So that kind of carries some weight. And there's a respect that comes with that that I think does gain consideration when you're looking at these end of season awards.
Best NBA player to not win the MVP. Anybody jump to mind? Because I'm just trying to think of, like, there are guys that
not win MVP, not to not win a championship.
No.
Best player to not win an MVP,
right? Because like Terp's point, because like I don't know, he might be right. Like he might eventually win an MVP.
I was thinking this too. Like who had the most first team All NBA appearances before they? I mean, he's probably online to win an MVP. You're right about that.
Because like guys do kind of break through, and maybe there's like voter fatigue.
Do you have
right?
a name
like,
in mind?
Jerry West.
Jerry West, the
he
logo
never won
MVP.
He won a Finals MVP.
He did.
In a loss.
D-Wade.
So D Wade, I would say there's a chance Tatum is trending towards a better career than D Wade. D Wade's nasty. I think like you see him at the end of his career and everything else, but D Wade was nasty. But yeah, so D Wade didn't win an MVP.
Kobe won an MVP, right?
So Kobe only won like one.
Right.
So that was sort of the big stat with him, but like he still won. Yeah. So like Chris Paul, like I think is wildly overrated. I'm really glad he did not win an MVP.
But Stockton never won one.
Crazy. Yeah, but he played with a guy who won two.
Yeah,
he also played with a guy that won two.
Generic list, first one that popped up, hoops hype. Jerry West.
Okay.
Elgin Baylor.
All right, so old school.
Wade. Isaiah.
So Isaiah's a good one.
Pippen. Paul.
Oh, so now you're already getting that. So like Pippen, I love.
Havlicek,
I defend
Stockton,
Pippen.
Kawhi,
like,
Patrick Ewing. That's top 10. Ewing's a good one.
Yeah, Ewing is a good one.
So Ewing's a good one. But also like Pippen and Ewing and
Isaiah.
Stockton didn't win, and Isaiah didn't win because of Jordan. Isaiah also a little bit of magic, I guess, too, at that point. But, yeah, it's a good one because normally guys that are perennial – well,
yeah,
what about Luka?
On that list, Luka hasn't won yet. Based on that list, you're right, though. Tatum should break through.
Maybe
and win
he will.
One.
Tatum
yeah.
has finished top six in MVP voting the last 3 years, too.
Right.
Like,
and this
he's
year,
been
I think
knocking
this,
at the door.
Probably be the same.
He'll be in the top five, I think, this year as well. I just don't think he wins.
Because wasn't it a couple years ago there was like that big push, like, it should be Joel Embiid. It should be. You're like, all right, fine. So, like, didn't Joel Embiid win one?
Yeah, he robbed
Embiid
from
won
Jokic.
One.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Jokic should have just won all of them.
I get the fatigue. I didn't really get giving it to Embiid, but I got the fatigue
on
Jokic.
So I guess the question will be like when Jokic is no longer the best player or there's a year he's like hurt, is that the year that like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets it?
That's
and like
year.
How soon is Wemby going to get it?
Yeah, so I if I had to pick who's going to win an MVP first.
But Wemby better start winning games.
True. But they've already won more games than they won
yeah.
a year ago. Like they're,
granted, it's only 23.
No, they're not.
But still.
They're
yeah,
not,
no, no, no.
It's
the point stands.
Yeah. They're
yes.
not even 500, right?
Right.
But they also just got they have four games of De'Aaron Fox or whatever it is. So yeah. Let's see. I'd imagine they start winning soon, but you're right. He absolutely has to do that. I would think Wembanyama first, although that list is intriguing because all the great players break through and win an MVP.
It yeah. also kind of brings a new appreciation to the talent in the league now when you're having these
slowly.
Conversations.
Yeah,
like
slowly.
Guys like Wemby, SGA, Jokic, Luka, Tatum. There's just so many young players.
You could do a good Four
seeing,
Nations
yeah, you could.
NBA.
Yeah,
real
you
nice.
Could.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we kind of had that with the Olympics.
U.S.,
saw that.
Canada.
France. Loaded.
Canada.
U.S. Yeah, Spain's kind of gone downhill a little bit. Off to the Gasol brothers.
Off the Gasols.
Gasol and Ricky Rubio. See what you got left.
Rudy Fernandez. Yeah, it's not much of a team
That's
anymore.
It's not bad.
No, it's true.
Older dudes.
What do you think we're premature in the Wembanyama conversation that it's he'll be the face of the league in short order?
No, not at all. I think everyone that watches him play and watches the NBA at large would agree with that. It's just a matter of time until he does take over this league. I mean, he's only 21 and he's in his second year as a pro. He's only going to get better and he's already kind of taken a leap this year. So it is just a matter of time until this is his league. And I like that the NBC commercials included him in there because it's going to be him in a short order.
So home game tonight, so they'll have a chance to add to this, I guess positively or negatively. But one of the stories we've been talking about this week is Celtics are 22-6 on the road, 16-10 at home. Well, best working theory as to why that is.
I think there's just a tendency to let their foot off the gas at home. And maybe it's because there's more distractions when you're at home. You're kind of you're back at home at your house and all that. And I also think maybe they look up and see that banner in the rafters and like, hey, you know what? We earned that. We know what we can do. And they kind of let their foot off the gas a little bit. I really think it is as simple as that. And then obviously we've been talking about it all year that opposing teams are coming in and giving them their best shot every single night. So when you take your foot off the gas and the opposing team is going all in, it's going to lead to losses, and that's what happened. But I really do think tonight will be a little bit different. They've been really vocal, the players have, about heading into All-Star break on the right foot. And right now they've won 9 of their last 12, 6 of their last 7, and it's been a gauntlet for them over this last month.
The loss in there, just FYI, was terrible against the Mavs, like a Mavs team with hardly anybody in there.
Another one where they come off a road trip and lose the game at home in kind of embarrassing fashion. But since January 15th, they haven't had more than one day off between games.
And look, and they are playing better. I'll give them that. When it comes to those two records, the home record and the red flag that it is versus the road record, which I think could be evidence of when this team needs to, they can turn it on. Which record to you is more telling?
I think the road record is because, like you said, they can just flip that switch. And if you look at the numbers we just looked at, two of those wins came over New York and Cleveland, who are the ones that are you're sandwiched in between in the middle of.
It's a tough look for I'm a Knicks guy as the biggest competitor in the East. Smashed. Like that's been a tough look in the two games against New York. Yeah.
I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I did the math the other day. I think it's only 49 seconds they've trailed against New York this season in two games of basketball. They've trailed for 49 seconds, which is just crazy. They just have way too many pick and roll targets, and the Knicks just don't have an answer for the Celtics. If those two are to see in a postseason series, I don't think that one's going to be really close. It is a terrible matchup for New York.
So you think, because I think it's a bad matchup for the Cavs. You think the Cavs are the tougher team in the East for the Celtics?
For the Celtics, yes. Yeah, I do.
Score one for Keith.
Agreed.
They've played the Celtics tough this year. And most of those games have come down.
The last game was a beatdown. But they at least beat them, yeah.
Yeah.
New York has been not even close.
No, true.
They just ran away with those games. But the two Cleveland games before the last one were tight. They played them, and I think they both came down to two possessions. So Cleveland plays them tough, and Cleveland obviously just got DeAndre Hunter, so a little bit better, a little bit more help there. Though Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have cooked that guy over the course of their careers. So we'll see. I still think the East runs through Boston, even though they might not have the one seed.
Do we ever get an official answer on if Torrey Craig is with Megan Thee Stallion?
Great question.
I mean, social media is saying so. I think Scout was all worked up over that.
Scout was hot and bothered.
Scout was probably still worked up over it.
But we didn't know what was going on there. You never know. So he hasn't played yet. Does he even have a role, or is that just sort of like a financial, like, we're getting rid of Springer, we have a roster spot, we'll bring in Craig. He's a veteran NBA player, but like, are we going to see him at all? Does he have a role?
No. I mean, you'll see him, especially come the end of the season when guys start taking nights off. And he does bring a veteran presence. And people forget during the Phoenix Suns run to the finals, like, he was an everyday contributor on that team. So he has experience in the postseason. He shot the ball well from three over the last 3 years. And he can play defense. When he was in New Zealand to start his career, he won Defensive Player of the Year over there. So I know the competition.
That was not on his basketball reference page.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So he'll have a role, but it's not going to be anything major.
Yeah, no, I mean,
the top nine is the top nine. And barring any injuries, that's what it's going to be.
Okay. So, well, right now, Drew Holiday's hurt. Is there any reason for concern with that?
I don't think so. I think it's also, he played through the Olympics, played one of the longest seasons last year. So I think they are just kind of managing him. And now he's going to get, 2 weeks off between games with the All-Star break and the couple games he's taken off now. So I'm not really worried about it. And ever since he came back on New Year's Eve, his numbers were trending up and they've kind of fluctuated a little bit, but that's just the way it goes across an NBA season. So, come the postseason, Drew Holiday is going to be there and answer the call. Just look at back to that Pacer series last year. I mean, what he did, how he executed down the stretch. I mean, he had a case for Eastern Conference Finals MVP as well.
Oh, he definitely did.
No, just looking at the numbers, you might not think that, but if you look at the actual impact he had on those games, he had a case. So, come the postseason, Drew Holiday is going to be ready to go, and he's going to make those winning plays, and that's why they went out and got him.
Do we ever get an actual answer as to why Jaylen Brown's not in the dunk contest this year? Because last year, I was like, hey, maybe this is a positive sign that all stars and real players that people know are going to do it. He wasn't great in it, but I was just happy that he did it. And I think he even said in the immediate aftermath, like, yeah, it'd be something I'd do again. And then here we are, 2025, they announce who it is, and it's four scrubs. So, and did he ever get asked about that?
I believe he did reference some of the lower body injuries he's dealt with this year. So I think that played into it. And I would be surprised if he doesn't do it again. I really do expect him. I do expect him to be back.
Hopefully,
eventually.
He gets somebody to join him.
I'd be surprised.
The thing with Jaylen, though,
but okay,
is he kind of used it as a platform to, like, you know, it was really on brand with him. Is he kind of everything had meaning, right? It wasn't necessarily about the dunk itself. It was about the story.
Yeah, maybe
of
he
the
should
dunk,
do. Maybe he should do less of that and more of the focusing on the dunks, because that was not.
But
not
that was
a great
that's on
showing.
Brand. That's.
I'll
how
give
he
him
is.
Credit for just doing it. Like, no, there hasn't been a star player
I do
years
too.
To do it.
But then the year after the star player did it, look at what we're left
they
with.
They bailed.
It's worse than ever. It's a worse field than ever.
It might be one of the historically the worst groups.
Yeah,
we can compare it maybe later in the week.
I saw Jaylen took a shot at Donovan Mitchell last night on the Tonight Show. He's like, oh yeah, I would have rehearsed that dunk with Donovan Mitchell if he ever showed up.
Well,
so
Mitchell
little,
did some dunk contests.
Little shot. No, Mitchell actually did well.
He threw down
in a dunk contest.
Really nice.
That's how they played.
That's true. So the whole idea of the Jaylen being involved in the dunk contest, you were talking before, Peyton Pritchard turned down the 3-point contest.
Yeah.
That surprised me.
Yeah, I thought he would be too. I think he's eyeing a vacation because he was talking about looking ahead to the All-Star break and how he was going to get away and maybe have a drink or two. So I think he's just looking forward to that.
Is he already? Is he getting married or is he already married?
He's already married.
He's already
married. He's already married.
Okay. So there's no, like, I got to jam in wedding prep or my wife's making me do X, Y, and Z.
No, he's good.
He just wants a break instead of going to the 3-point contest?
I mean, he's going to be playing pickup in Southie or everywhere, or North End.
I thought he was pure hoops. I thought he was pure hoops.
He's
apparently
the purist.
Not. Okay, but
move over LeBron.
But that's not true.
Taking a break.
If he's pure, if he needs to go to Cancun in the middle of the season,
he'll have other opportunities to go into the 3-point contest.
Will he?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know.
He
leads
the NBA or leads reserves in 3-pointers off the bench. He was in the top 10 for the longest time. I haven't really looked at that.
This would be the year to strike while the iron's hot, one would think. So that doesn't feel like pure hoops. Taking a break and kicking his feet up in Cancun does not feel like pure hoops.
I mean, with the schedule they've had, and that guy doesn't. He missed a game actually recently with an illness, but that guy does not take time off. So if he wants to take a week off,
he is taking time off. That's what he's doing.
If he wants to do that, then he's earned it.
This isn't a mandatory 100%. Event.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, but I just that it doesn't sound like pure hoops.
No, it's pure.
Pure hoops.
He's playing actual pickup games. He's like, that's just shooting. He's like, I gotta play. I gotta pass and run, set screens.
Pure hoops was the bubble.
He'll be in the lab.
That was all about the basketball.
That's all it was.
No breaks.
You're right.
This feels like a break.
Right.
It is not a break,
but he's earned it. Mm. You need him for the postseason. Mm. If you want to go get right, go ahead.
Okay. Terp, thanks so much. You can check out all his work at WEEI. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Justin M. Turpin. Good stuff at Tatum and Drew Hanlon's event last night. So check that out. We'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We'll get back to how the Patriots plan on building their team this offseason. We have some insight into that from Greg Bedard that we'll get to right after trending.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With Billy Lanny.
That was Greg Bedard with some insight on the Patriots and their team-building approach this offseason, Keith. Get ready for the trenches.
Oh, I'm ready.
Hog mollies, big uglies,
yeah,
as you call them, hosses.
Uh-huh.
Get ready for a lot of that this offseason. What do you think of that plan?
So, yeah, you know me. I'm more of a wide receiver type of I'd rather talk about that. Shiny object, whatever it might be. But watching the Eagles play all postseason long, not just the Super Bowl, highlighted by the Super Bowl, it's certainly not a bad strategy. It might not be the one that immediately gets everybody like so fired up to like re-up the season tickets and like all the kind of hype and buzz around the team. But to start there and then have sustained success and, you know, keep Drake May upright and also do the best you can to you know, cause problems for opposing quarterbacks. Yeah, like that does make a lot of sense. The thing is, the Patriots have so many needs. I don't know if that has to be the first priority. I don't know if it has to be, just because everything outside of quarterback and corner number one, you need to get somehow, some way. So if they decide in the front office, we're going to get X, Y, and Z through the draft and free agency, then we're going to get A, B, and C through trades. Fine. Like, if you want to flip-flop the order, I think that's okay.
It's a good point. In some ways, it's very freeing for the offseason. It's like, who are you taking it for? I don't know. Like, what best player available? Who should they trade for? I don't know. Like, tell me who's out there. We could use help everywhere. Who are you signing in free agency? Don't know. We need everything. So, in some ways, that is very freeing. I don't question the intelligence of beefing up the lines. And you made the point earlier, Keith. I think it's a good one. We focused a lot. I focused a lot on the Eagles and their D-line and the pressure on Mahomes and how they were able to limit that. You know, you also look at the Chiefs' offensive line and how deficient that was and point to it and say, all right, well, you got to shore that up, and the Patriots need to shore that up too. They certainly couldn't protect Jacoby Brissett. I felt like it was better with a more mobile quarterback behind the line with Drake May later in the year. But still, they were deficient there a year ago. So it's probably a smart plan. It's not one that's going to grab a lot of eyeballs, attention, headlines.
No, it's not.
But it's probably a smart plan. My only nitpick for it is that might be a slow build. If you're beefing up the trenches, then we might be talking about 2 or 3 years before you're really back there and competitive again. Shiny objects are, you might be able to cut some corners with that, in my estimation.
Yeah.
Because I do think you can get by with a mediocre offensive line and some high-level talent on the outside.
So here's the thing. Like, garbage at any position is going to hurt you, like, no matter what. So where can you get by with average, and where do you need, like, the elite part? And that's why I do think, even if you ask Drake May, you know, not publicly, but you're like, hey, Drake, would you rather an elite wide receiver and an average offensive line, or an average group of receivers and an elite offensive line? I think he would take the elite playmakers.
Yeah.
I think. I could be wrong, but that's
right.
What I think he would do.
But even just this, think about it through the prism of two of the biggest ticket free agents. Would you rather have T. Higgins, or would you rather have Ronnie Stanley? I'm guessing he'd answer T. Higgins.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a guess. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm guessing quarterbacks would answer it that
they're
way
in a
for a reason.
But they're in a position right now where Drake May doesn't have average of either. So right now he's playing with below average for both. So we're not saying, like, add T. Higgins and don't upgrade the O-line. And we're also not saying add Ronnie Stanley and don't upgrade the wide receiver. Like, they just have so many needs. One thing I looked up, because, you know, if you ask me to rank the offensive lines in football, I'm sure it would be all over the place. Like, I don't really know for sure. This is preseason 2024, which I think is kind of an interesting look. This is PFF.
Yeah.
They ranked all their offensive lines. So basically, going into the year, kind of on paper.
Yeah, on paper.
Who they felt.
Talent level, who has the best. We didn't know how they gelled together yet, but who had the best on paper.
So think about these offenses. Think about how these teams did and if they had a really good offensive line going into the year. So 1-2, Detroit, Philly.
Okay. Check. Good teams.
Looking pretty good.
Good teams, good O-lines.
3-4-5-6. Colts, Browns, Jets, Falcons.
Oof.
So, like, some rough stuff. And part of it would be, you know, who are those teams throwing to? Who are their quarterbacks, right? First and foremost, who are all those teams' quarterbacks? Who are those teams throwing to?
The Falcons are wild, because I feel like the Falcons, if you like their, I don't pretend to know anything about
their
O-line,
a weird one.
But, like, that's an odd one. I would have thought.
But Cousins also just
Cousins
kind of fell
was so
apart.
Bad. No, it's true. That's
Cousins
that's
fell apart.
Yeah.
And, like, Aaron Rodgers kind of fell apart. And then, you know, and some of those teams I know had injuries, so it wasn't like everybody played, but that's also going to happen. Like, you're going to have to deal with that. Even if you make all these moves, like, there's no guarantee that those guys are going to play all 17 games.
Quick comment in the Twitch chat, and then we can get to some phone calls. 617-779-7937, Dubs 985. I like how before the 2024 season, it was they should build it like the Texans. Now it's they should build it like Philly.
No, what huge difference.
Well, also, I always think it was build it like Philly, number one. We
also,
talked about...
the Texans drafted Will Anderson, signed Danielle Hunter.
Okay, but like, but hang on.
No.
A year ago, I propped up the Texans saying you can turn it around quickly. I didn't say build it like the Texans. I said the Texans didn't really have much to build with. They just got their quarterback.
Well, but hold on. I think it's also kind of apples to oranges because... the Patriots got their quarterback. So if the Patriots didn't have their quarterback,
yeah,
and this was, let's say, this year, here we are in a quarterback draft, there'd be more signs for, like, let's get that guy. Get the guy that you want. So, like, are people, do they want to – you and I aren't saying they should have taken Joe Alt last year instead of Drake May.
No.
That's what that comment sounds like.
I mean, look, I never said build it like the Texans. I just said the Texans turned it around quick when they got their quarterback, yeah, and you can go from being
the Commanders
one of the worst teams in football to a playoff team. Thank you. The Commanders, the same thing. I didn't say build it like the Commanders.
No.
I just brought that up as a point, how quickly your quarterback, if they're super talented, which I think May is, but there's a disconnect to winning games. I never said build it like that. I think we've now been saying for a couple of years, build it like Philly.
Yeah, first-round pick wideouts.
Coming off Philly's Super Bowl appearance a couple of years ago. I think we've been talking about Philly for a while. So I think the pass rush specifically is something I've come around on, but I wanted to build like their roster for a while in the wide receiver room. You're right. Coming up, about 10 minutes from now, Rich Keefe is going to write. Now the football's done.
That's right.
We all need stuff to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Rich Keefe is going to give you the top 10 television shows on his list to watch now that football's done. Is that
for
a fair
year.
Way of framing
no,
it?
No, top 10.
For the whole rest of the year.
So some of them are coming out this week. So I'm giving you some stuff for now, but also stuff to look forward to.
Got it.
So sort of how I did top 10 movies for the year. Top 10 most anticipated TV shows for the rest of the year.
So I might have to wait for a couple of them. Some might be on now.
But I'll give you a taste of a couple now, too.
Well, I like it. I'm looking forward to that. Meanwhile, we got some phone calls here. Again, 617-779-7937. Eddie's in New Hampshire. Hello, Eddie. Eddie, hello.
Go ahead, Ed.
All right, let's pop
Sir?
Back on hold. He was on hold for a while, in fairness.
He called us.
Jeff's in New Hampshire. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, hold on for a second.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me all right?
We have you, yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm right here. My mother's in the car.
Oh, hi.
Listen, the Four Nations Cup, the way it's set up is simply because Russia's been banned for hockey, not disinvited.
Yeah, so I'm aware of that. That makes it a poor tournament. I'm surprised the Four Nations is such a hot button.
People like Four Nations. Four Nations.
Is it just the hockey hardos, or is it because it's in Boston? You're nodding, Billy. It's just the hockey hardos? You think it's just
absolutely.
That? Absolutely. Okay.
It's a four-team tournament.
Was
it Terp that called it the pro bean pot?
It's the international bean pot is what it is.
But
I think something has to do with the games are here, too. Or some of the games are here.
I like country versus country stuff. You know that. I am a fan of that.
But I know. You care about USA Costa Rica. You care about that in a friendly. Yes.
Well, I'll watch a friendly. Well, no, friendly's a little bit different.
These are friendlies.
No, because friendlies are one and done. This is a tournament.
But it's the same thing.
Like, there's no semifinals in a friendly.
What does this mean? Do you care about the world championships in hockey? They do those every year. About those?
Oh,
those
yeah.
are all the guys who don't make the playoffs. You're playing for
I'm
your country.
In on that.
You care about all the teams that miss the playoffs. The best players who miss the playoffs, that's the
you
world championship.
You get the Stars and Stripes
you care
about Jersey Jones. I'm
you,
watching. I'm
you care about
for
that
it.
Tournament? No, you don't. No one does.
It.
No one ever has. No one cares about this either. So people want to pretend they care about it. No one's seen it. No one knows how it looks. It's not the four best countries.
It's probably going to be amazing.
It's not the four best countries in the world.
If you were Slovakia.
It's flawed on so many levels, it's not funny.
If you were Slovakia, would you start a separate Four Nations tournament with the Czech Republic and like Germany and like
Russia.
Switzerland?
Yeah, get Russia in
Oh,
there.
Yeah, Russia. Well, maybe they also don't want Russia. I don't know. I can't speak to that.
Slovakia and Russia,
there's
I feel
probably
like, are
least,
more aligned.
Because when it comes to the Olympics, there's always more than eight teams, but it really comes down to like eight teams that are good at hockey, I think.
I don't even think it's eight. In the Olympics, you get some real stretches
you have
in the Olympics.
These four that are in it,
yep.
And then you have Russia, that's five, Czech Republic,
yeah,
six, Slovakia.
It. Yeah, maybe.
And then the Swiss have some NHL guys.
Sometimes.
They're neutral, clearly. They're very neutral on it.
They have trouble taking stands. Is what they do.
They don't have a strong take on the Four Nations, but they're.
I'm surprised that's been such a hot button thing. I mean, you continue to weigh in on that.
Are you going
to
watch any of it?
I told
USA,
you.
USA Canada on Saturday?
Because it's a Saturday.
Well, I'm going to be
because
all
it's a Saturday.
In on that.
Probably not. But if it's USA and Canada in the final, maybe that one I'll allow for.
You know what's insane?
The friendly round robin matchup between USA. Those are round robin friendly matchups.
I might actually not be able to watch it.
Little Cece has three birthday parties this weekend.
Wow.
How on earth is that a thing? I think we have, is it a doubleheader on Saturday and one on Sunday? It's how many, too many birthdays.
How many bounce houses?
I don't think any. Well, one's at like a trampoline park.
There you go.
One's at like a Chuck E. Cheese.
Same idea.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was going to say like a bounce house. That's more like summer birthdays.
The other one they're going to be shoveling.
The Y.
Oh, is it snowing this weekend?
I think it's going to snow this weekend.
I've been to 8 million children's birthdays at the Y.
Yeah, those are a good time.
Yeah, but that's all. They always have the bounce house inside the
usually gym. A pizza party.
At these parties, will you be watching Finland versus Sweden?
Yeah, my phone. They better have their
U.S. versus Canada.
They better have their Wi-Fi cranking because I'll be on USA Canada.
Gonna ask them to change the TV.
Hey, yeah.
Hey,
guys, can you turn off a Bluey real quick? I gotta check the scores.
I got Canada on the puck line.
Not me.
No.
States.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I meant for the first game. I meant for you because, again, nothing announces the presence of this tournament like Canada-Sweden to get the thing rolling.
Hell yeah.
A 1 o'clock game and an 8 o'clock game on Saturday, spreading it out.
All right. Oh, 8 o'clock, I should be back. I mean, these are 5-6-year-old birthday parties, so I should be back for the 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you're going to be
unless
worn
there's
down.
Like a night show.
You're gonna be
just be ready for the conversations. Not necessarily the game. Everybody's going to be talking about it, so you just got
to
be ready.
You'll be
so,
in a
I'm going to have to announce. Guys, I'm DVRing the game. Nobody say the scores.
Don't tell me what happened.
Don't tell me what happened in Finland, Sweden.
Yes.
They're like, okay.
Okay.
You go home
what
and
is he talking about?
You go home and you're in a pizza coma.
Yeah.
Can't even stay up to watch it. Well, if you need something to watch other than the I know everybody's so excited about the Four Nations, but if you need something else to watch, something else to look forward to.
Oh, I got a list.
Rich Keefe has the top 10 most anticipated shows of 2025. That's next.
All right, here we go. It is time to talk some TV. Football season is over. You have the NBA after tonight hitting the All-Star break. You have hockey in the very controversial and polarizing Four Nations face-off.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
Going on. So some will be very invested, others less so. But how about some TV shows? I gave you my top 10 most anticipated movies of the year. Here are the top 10 most anticipated TV shows through the rest of the year. So it does not include three shows I'm watching right now, which are Severance.
Great.
They are almost halfway through this season, season two of the show, on Apple Plus. Excellent. You're trying to figure out what's going on. Sci-fi, tinge of horror vibes, but definitely like a sci-fi type of show.
And I will interject this for you because it's been helpful to me. The Dork Podcast Severance recaps are very helpful because I'm watching.
Yeah.
I'm not doing a lot of thinking.
That's right.
I let other people do the thinking for me.
We'll do that.
And so you guys do a good job of that.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Tonight we are going to be recapping episode 4, which might be the best episode of the season.
I was looking for that on my Spotify today.
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
So I'll be in the Odyssey in your folder tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, you'll have that. Or late tonight.
Right there
If you're up late, like, I can't sleep.
Okay.
Turn on the old hashtag Dork Podcast. So Severance, I've been enjoying very much. Traitors, that's a reality show. But
tremendous.
You, me, Nick are all over that show. Shyam's all over that show.
Shyam's watched like 3 seasons in a week.
I don't even
know how he has the time to do it, but he's knocked out like legitimately 3 seasons.
I'm not sure. So new episodes of Traitors is on Thursday. New episodes of Severance are on Friday. And then I got swept up into this Paradise show that the morning show, Greg, Wiggy, I think Courtney too, they all love this show.
I've watched 2 of the 5 so far.
So
I'm teetering a little bit.
I told those guys, the 5th one came out last night. It's a Tuesday release show. And I told those guys, I think you're hyping it up too much. Because I like it.
You're doing too much.
You're doing too much with it.
Yeah.
Because I like it, and I needed something, especially with my other two shows being Thursday, Friday. I had a big gap, especially some of those nights where there was no Bruins or.
Hold on.
Dump that, Nick.
I wasn't looking at Nick to isolate that. Yeah.
There was a lot of time without a show. Let me rephrase. Now, put that in for the podcast later.
Yeah, replace that.
So, Saturday through Wednesday, if there weren't like a Bruins night or a Celtics night, you're like, all right, what do we got?
You
got
to fill your gap.
Correct.
Thank you.
Which I am famously great at. And so, Paradise is not a bad show. It's on Hulu. It's 8-episode season. Episode 5 was last night. You're also trying to figure out some pieces, some obvious twists, some maybe less obvious twists, and whatever. It's good, not great. I at least need to see how it ends, so I will watch the final 3. But because I tweeted it out yesterday at Dork Podcast, I was like, add this to the list of shows. And some of the responses were like, you guys are the only ones who like it. I was like, I think it's better than that. But anyway.
Yeah, we were also told that From was terrible, too. And it's one of the
From's great.
There you go.
So From,
so
greater than.
Listen to them.
Yeah, From greater than Paradise. Severance, greater than Paradise. And Paradise, I think, worth a watch to this point.
All right, here we go. I'm gonna
get to the actual list.
I ranked them from 10 to 1 as like ones I'm looking forward to. So this Sunday night is The White Lotus season 3. I'll be honest, wasn't a huge fan. In fact, bailed on season 1 and 2. But it's one of those anthology shows, so you can pick up season 3 and you're like, doesn't really matter. People love these shows. They love it's a Mike White creation. Carrie Coon, who I think is one of the great actresses of our time. She was in The Leftovers. Okay. She's joining the cast for season 3. Walton Goggins, excellent actor in a lot of great shows.
Nick was very hyped up for that specific performance.
So, and usually the Sunday HBO show, Sunday at 9 HBO show is can't miss.
Worth your time.
So that's The White Lotus season 3. Speaking of HBO, this might be a polarizing one, but coming in at number 9 on my list is A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. This is another Game of Thrones spinoff. So Game of Thrones was pretty lights out for 5 or 6 seasons, then for a season, then a terrible final season.
And then how have the spinoffs been?
So House of the Dragon season 1 I liked a lot. Season 2 was kind of an with the exception of one unbelievable episode. So, again, I think you got to go into it. Yeah, hit or miss. But you know they throw a ton of money on it. It's going to be a big spectacle. I think it's going to be a fun show. So that's coming out in June of this year. Number 8 on my list, Alien: Earth. It's a Hulu show, Alien series. So we've seen all these Alien movies, including Romulus, which was a good one. You can pick any kind of different time. They all jump around in times. But it's Alien, and it's a TV show.
And it's on Earth.
Yeah.
Okay.
What more do you want?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
It's going to be great. It's on our turf. Alien, on our turf.
Alien Earth. I like this. Okay.
Hopefully they're not just like afraid of water like the aliens in Signs.
Yeah.
Let's go to a planet. This is Davey's big rant on Dork Podcast. He's like, so they go to a planet 75% covered in water, and the one thing that kills them is water?
Yeah, they should have seen that one coming.
Yeah.
They were running out of other options.
The flaw. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe all the planets are water. Number 7. Welcome to Derry. It's going to be an HBO show, and it's going to serve as a prequel to the 2 most recent It movies.
Okay.
So Stephen King, a little horror, Pennywise the Clown?
Skarsgård back?
Yes.
Well, then I'm in.
Yeah, okay.
So Nick is in.
Nick's sold.
I'm a little afraid to dip a toe in the water.
Scared.
Yeah, I'm a little scared.
You're a little scared.
I'm honestly shocked looking forward to this, being a clown.
I look away at times.
The whole movie.
I'm not as scared.
He was watching through his fingertips. Yeah.
Dude, not to spoil Traitors, but the last episode. So this has been a house of horrors for me.
Yeah.
They had a clown episode. Then 2 episodes later, snakes.
Oh, a whole bunch of wriggly things. But yeah, snakes. Yeah.
That challenge would have really frustrated me. So there was a challenge. I won't say who won or anything, but there was a challenge where you basically like reach your hands into a box and they drop like creepy crawlies on you. Like, whatever, I can handle that. Then there's like scorpions or spiders, like not the end of the world. So I'd be like, I wouldn't like it, but I could do all that.
I think I also could handle that. I know what you're going to say, though. They started dumping stuff on your head?
I don't love that, but it was like crickets and like sand. So I'd be like, this is annoying.
I don't want that.
But for the sake of the game, I would do it. But then they're like, here come some boa constrictors. I'd be like, I would like sprint it out of there so fast. I'd be like, why'd I do all that other stuff? I wouldn't have been able to do that for a second.
I made it so far, and then they broke out the boa constrictor. I couldn't handle it.
Like, if you start with the boa constrictor, then I'm just out.
Yeah, it would have saved me a lot of time.
Oh my God, I'll quit.
I wouldn't like all the stuff dumped on my head.
Yeah,
but anyway, neither here nor there, yes.
Number 6, The Bear season 4.
Ooh.
On Hulu. Seasons 1 and 2, excellent. Some of the best TV I've seen in the last decade. Season 3, good. Not great, but it was good. And so we'll see if they bounce back. I think it might be the final season.
Oh,
not
100% really?
Sure on
when
that.
When is it out?
It's also TBD, but my guess is like
summerish.
Summer. Okay. That'd be my guess. Number 5, Andor season 2. A Disney Plus show comes out April 22nd. Andor season 1 was excellent. This is, it's great for Star Wars fans. Even non-Star Wars fans can like this. There's like not even lightsabers in it, which some look at it as like,
boring.
That's bad. Yeah. No, I know. But it ended up being great.
So even Andy Hart, who came in yesterday and was talking about the little blue robot, which you immediately corrected and said,
it's a droid.
Actually a droid. Even Andy Hart would like
R2-D2. Yeah, Andor's great. And this is going to lead right up until the Rogue One movie. Number 4 on my list comes out this Friday. That'd be Yellow Jackets season 3. It's on Showtime. Or apparently the souped up, priced up Paramount Plus version.
Oh, I got to get like a high level version of Paramount Plus. Yeah. Not on Tubi?
I don't think so, sadly.
All right.
This is the one where the high school girls' soccer team crashes on a planet to eat each other. Great stuff.
It's like Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But newer.
Newer.
It's a newer Alive.
Newer, hipper Alive,
yeah. Yes.
Number three on my list, the final season of Stranger Things. Apparently,
what
the talk on
that.
God, what is it, Nick? Five, six?
Five?
They just keep referring to it as the final season. But yeah, so I think maybe it's five. And they say like each episode is going to be like a big budget movie. It's going to be insane, I think, by the
time. I think
time
like every episode's almost 2 hours long, hour and a half, 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, my they're God. Like all movies. Every episode.
Well, it's been 10 years since they released a season, so.
Right. It's been a while. All the kids are way older now.
Yeah.
I wasn't in on the first four. I'm definitely out on this one.
So I love this series. Okay. So this is great.
Number two on my list is Daredevil Born Again on Disney Plus March 4th. So Daredevil was a great Marvel show on Netflix, and it ran for three seasons, and it was excellent. Then it was canceled. And then Disney Plus absorbed all those Netflix shows, and they were like, well, maybe we're going to make these. Maybe we weren't. But like the fans were so up in arms that this show got canceled that they're bringing it back. It's not technically a season four, but I think it kind of is because they're bringing back a lot of the same characters and people. But this show should be great. Street level, hero, all that stuff. And then number one on my list is The Last of Us Season 2 on HBO. Also TBD. I think they said spring, maybe like late spring.
April.
Oh, they did say April?
They said April, didn't give a day, though.
All right, so no day, but I'm guessing this will be the Sunday at 9, probably whenever the White Lotus ends. They'll probably make way for The Last of Us. Season 1 was great. This is the game. This is based off of the video game. Pedro Pascal, excellent, excellent show. One of the best shows of, I think, what, 2 years ago.
So the top 10 most anticipated shows of 2025. Keith's got three bonus honorable mentions. Severance, mm-hmm. Paradise, Traitors, all underway. White Lotus Season 3. A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, Alien Earth, Welcome to Derry, The Bear Season 4, Andor Season 2, Yellowjacket Season 3, Stranger Things Season 5, Daredevil Born Again, and Last of Us Season 2. That's in reverse order. 10,
yes.
2, 1. Maybe we can tweet that out for you. It'll be available on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Let's get back to the Red Sox, their youth movement. Is it an actual plan, or are they just selling you a bill of goods? We'll get to it next.